You have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 4. Psalm the 4th chapter. Or if you're reading the Septuagint version, the Psalm 4. You do know that there is a Greek letter that's C. That's exactly how it's pronounced. Looks like pounds per square inch, you know. And we don't tend to say words that way that have come from us from Koine Greek. And we'd say the Psalms and the psychology and a number of other terms that would sound rather odd, I guess. You know, one of the things that we keep emphasizing, and I don't know how in the world you can get away from it, is that we live in a fallen world. And from the moment we wake up until we go to sleep, we're reminded of the fact that the world has fallen. That sin and death have entered the world, Romans 5:12. And therefore, we experience a host of negatives. We experience them in our personal lives. We see all sorts of negative events transpiring in the world at large. And even though our Lord and Savior three times in his Sermon on the Mount said, "Do not worry," it's hard not to. Perhaps the hardest commandment that we have to obey is that very one. Do not worry. Or as Paul phrases it, Philippians 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Not easy. All you have to do is go to your website of choice, your news site of choice. This isn't necessarily mine. But generally, if you open CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, whichever one you tend to use, you see headlines like the one above, don't you? Terror attack in Jerusalem. And then there's also an article there about the recent shooting in Florida. And you just start going down through it, there's enough there to remind you that you live in a fallen world and also to upset you if you allow it to. There's few feel-good stories on news sites because they know that feel-good stories don't sell like dirty laundry does and like bad news does. And our world is full of bad news. And therefore we worry, we concern ourselves with a number of things. For that reason, a lot of us have a hard time sleeping at night. Maybe you're one of those people. You have a difficult time ever getting a good night's rest. Now, that's the way some people deal with stress. I, on the other hand, if I'm worried about something or feel particularly stressed, then my escape is sleep. You know, I can find somewhere to lie down and I can fall asleep, forget about it for a little while. But for most people, I think, that I've talked to, when things are really concerning, when life is pressing you, getting a good night's sleep is not an easy thing. How do we, when difficulty arises, when we face the things we do, when we live in the world that we live in, how do we get a good night's sleep? How do we enjoy a peaceful night's rest? And I'm hoping that what we're going to be looking at tonight might help us to do that. And sometime way back, I remember I briefly referenced this in a Wednesday night devotional, but I've been wanting to look at it in a little more detail for some time, so that's what we're going to do tonight. So we think about a peaceful sleep. And we're going to go through Psalm 4, and we're going to see what David says about how a person can experience peace and tranquility in one's heart that would allow a person to lie down and sleep and do so peacefully. And then we'll see what he says about his advice in chapter 3 and whether or not it worked for him. So we're going to start in Psalm 4, and as we do, if you look at verse 1 of the psalm, the first thing we find David doing is David talks to God. David talks to God. Notice in verse 1, he says, "Hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress." Now, we'll come back to this in a few minutes. David's remembering things that happened before and how God had aided him. have mercy on me and hear my prayer. So here's David. As we're about to see, he calls on God because there are some problems. There are some problems. And in verses 2 and 3, David addresses that problem, or problems plural, as he speaks of evil men. Notice, you look at verses 2 and 3. David says, "How long, O you sons of men?" He turns his attention from God now to men in his speaking. "How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him." So let's again think about what we're reading as we look at Psalm 4. We don't know exactly what's going on in David's life. But it seems to be the case that these worthless men are men who are a thorn in David's side. And if indeed, as many of David's psalms which have to do with his cries for deliverance are concerned, the background of this may have something to do with either when Saul and his men were trying to kill David and David had to flee, or perhaps when Absalom committed treason and usurped David's throne, and then David had to go on the run from his own child who was out to kill him. So David addresses God, "Hear me when I call." He addresses worthless men and in essence says, "How long are you going to persist in your conduct?" And then we see his confidence where he says, "The Lord will hear me when I call." So he addresses God first, then he talks to men, and then it's interesting, he talks to himself. It's been said that the more intelligent you are, the more you talk to yourself. I don't know if you believe that or not, but I can pretty much tell you it's not true because I talk to myself all the time. I found that I'm the only one that'll listen to me, and I'm the only one that seems to care what I have to say. So I do a lot of talking to myself. But what we find here, I think, as we look at the psalm, is we're seeing what we've talked about before. We're seeing positive biblical self-talk, where you take spiritual ideas grounded in Scripture, and when things are not going well, you remind yourself in your heart what's really true. You ever find yourself doing that? Maybe things aren't going well, and you feel like, you know, maybe you get a diagnosis that you don't like to hear, and you remind yourself that as long as you're with the Lord and the Lord's with you, he'll carry you through that. And you may, you know, quote Psalm 23, or you may go to some other passage that's particularly helpful to you. Positive biblical self-talk. Now notice what David says when he talks to himself, verse 4. Again, he's got trouble on every side. He says, "Be angry." I can understand why he might be. "And do not sin." He says to himself, "Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." In the commentators that I read, generally speaking, seem to believe again, David now is telling himself this. Don't allow this situation to cause you to sin. Trust God. Think thoughts about him while you're lying on your bed. Not negative, pessimistic thoughts that can fill your mind with worry and fear. So as we look at verse 4, David speaks to himself. And then as the prayer closes, or the psalm closes, again he turns his attention to God in verses 6 to 8. He says, "There are many who say, 'Who will show us any good?' Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased." So here we see him addressing God. But notice verse 8, put it on the screen here. David says, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Isn't that a beautiful thought? As he reminds himself of the help that God will provide, urges himself to dwell on that, to think about it, and to put his trust in God. And then, of course, as the psalm closes, as he thinks about doing that, and as those thoughts begin to flood his mind and his soul, he says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. As long as you're with me, nothing can befall me. And it reminds me a little bit of what we talked about several weeks ago from Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That seems to echo through this idea running through Psalm 4, that it is possible in the midst of great difficulty, when you feel like perhaps your enemies are surrounding you or life's falling apart, where you can dwell on the promises of God, think thoughts about him, choose to trust in him, and you can lie down in peace. Alright? Let's look at this a little more closely as we think about David's advice here. What's he saying? What are we seeing? How can we prepare for a good night's sleep? Looking at what we just read. We've already talked about some of it, but we'll review briefly here. I sure would like to sleep well tonight, but there's a lot on my mind. Call on God. David says, hear me when I call, O God, my righteous. And when I think about this idea, of course, my mind goes to 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, where Peter urged those to whom he wrote, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due time. And then he said, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. If I'm troubled, if life seems to be pressing down upon me, if things are concerning to me, if I'm feeling anxious, the question that I pose and that you know the answer, does God want me to unload all of those burdens on him? He does. He commands us to do it, and he commands us to do it, 1 Peter 5, 7 tells us, because he cares. You know, when life gets really tough, sometimes it's easy to feel like, well, there's just nobody really cares, right? It's just me. Nobody really cares what I'm going through. Well, if Scripture's true, and we believe it is, God absolutely cares. And he wants you to cast your cares upon him. In fact, that's the way you humble yourself in his sight. And the Bible says that God is a friend of those who are humble, those who are brokenhearted, those who have a lowly spirit, and he will dwell with them, Isaiah 66, first couple of verses of that great chapter. So, if I want to have a good, peaceful rest tonight and things are troubling me, I'm going to take it to the Lord. I'm going to call on God. What did David say? He said that he considered his past blessings. Now, he doesn't say that explicitly, but that seems to be the idea. We referenced it just a few moments ago. He says, you have relieved me in my distress. And it's as if he's saying, I've been in this situation before. And when I think about being in this situation before, I can remember, Lord, how you were there and you relieved me in my trouble. If you've lived very long, and if you followed the Lord very long, and if you have leaned on him very often, then you can look back over those moments in life where it did seem like there was no solution, where it did seem like there was no one to come to your aid, and lo and behold, you called out to God, you prayed to him, and in his own way, doors were open, people perhaps came into your life, solutions were found, and he indeed was there and led you through it all the way. If I'm presently in trouble in some sense, I need to think about where I've been before and how God's been there in the past. That can go a long way in making me feel good about, this will turn out okay too. This will be okay too. Now the circumstances might be difficult, right? Nobody's saying it'll be a rose garden, but we have what we need to maneuver through, pilot through anything that happens in our lives. So David says he considered his past blessings, considered how the Lord had helped him before. So if I want a peaceful sleep tonight, I'm going to call on God, and I'm going to remember all that he's done for me in the past, knowing that he is certainly able to do so in the here and now. And then notice David called out in faith. He said, the Lord will hear me when I call. I'm going to spend time praying him tonight about my circumstances, the things which may concern me, I need to believe that he can answer in a positive way. He can provide what I need. David had all the confidence in the world that the Lord would answer. And of course, we know that he always will. May not be in the way that we desire or think it should be answered, but he'll always answer our prayers. He'll always meet our needs in the way that is best. And so when we think about a good night's sleep, what do I need to do? I need to take it to the Lord, and then I need to believe, in the sense of James 1 and verse 5, I need to ask in faith, believing that he'll take care of me. He'll do it. He can do it. I trust that he will. And then it's interesting, at the end of the psalm, there's the idea of counting blessings. David said, you have put gladness in my heart. Here he is with all the enemies round about him, with all the troubles that he was facing, and what does he do? He rejoices, and he considers how good God is. And a lot of times we find ourselves thinking negatively because we forget our blessings. If I remember correctly, we don't say, count your many complaints, name them one by one, do we? We say, count your many blessings. It's interesting, I was listening to a podcast yesterday. And on the podcast was an author who had written a book that I thought was in really bad taste, and maybe it was, where he tried to spend a year living out the Bible literally, Old Testament and New. He proved that he didn't understand the Bible at all, even though he read through it and tried to carry out all the various commands. But one of the things he said that I thought was very interesting, the host asked him, and he's not a believer at all in any sense, even though he wrote that book. The host asked him, was there anything about that experience that stuck with you? And this is what he said. He said, you know, the Bible from beginning to end tells people to be thankful for everything. And he said, I took that idea to the extreme. He said, I would get on the elevator. When I press the button, if the door's opened, I thank God for the door's open. He said, I thank God when I arrived on my floor. He said, for a certain amount of time, I was thankful for every possible thing that I could give thanks for. And the host said, well, what did that teach you? He said, that taught me that in life, there are so many things that are good that are going on that we forget. There's hundreds of little things every day that go just like they ought to go, and we don't pay a drop of attention to it, but the first sign of something going south, we focus on it. And so count your blessings. Accentuate the positive, as I've heard it said before. Look for those little blessings in everything and thank God for them. And I believe that's what David's doing. He's counting his blessings plural, as he begins to think. All right, David sets forth these ideas. He says, I will lie down in peace. Well, did he obey his own advice? Did he follow his own advice? Did he actually do what he said, and is there proof of it? Well, I don't know if in that instance he did, but there is proof that he followed what he said. And that brings us now to Psalm 3. Psalm 3, and it's very short. Psalm 3. Here's what we find. Very similar to the other. Verses 1 and 2, we have David's complaint. I'm sorry, that's supposed to be Psalm 3, not Psalm 4. What did I say? 3. I got to change the bottom. Psalm 3. Here's what David says. He says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. And a lot of commentators seem to think that this is when he was on the run from Absalom. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. So in essence, he brings his complaint to God. I've got all of these enemies, and it's pretty well thought that there's no way that you're going to help me. So that's his complaint. But David's confident that this isn't true. So notice verses 3 and 4. He says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice. What did he say to do earlier when things are troubling you? Call out. He says, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Now notice when we get to verses 5 and 6 here, what David said. In Psalm 4, he said, I will lie down in peace. Then he describes the situation as if he's looking back at what he did, and he said, I laid down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Then he said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me. And of course, the psalm ends with, Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. So what do we see? David did what he said we ought to do, right? And he said, if I do it, and I will lie down in peace. And then he speaks of another situation where he cried out to God. And what was he able to do? To lie down in peace. And so some have said that when it comes to these particular psalms, what you ought to do at night, if you're troubled, is read Psalm 4 before you go to bed. I will lie down in peace. And then when you wake up in the morning and the Lord has sustained you one more time, you read Psalm 3. I lay down and the Lord sustained me. One's for going to bed and reflecting. The other's for when you rise up and reflect on what the Lord did. I don't know about you, but I think all of us need a good night's rest occasionally. And what a blessing it is to be able to pillow your head and think to yourself, if the Lord is for me, who can be against me? And that is possible for those who are in Christ, who are following the Lord. He is with you. He will never leave nor forsake you. And he wants that relationship with every person. And so it may be that there's somebody present, never obeyed the truth of the gospel. You've never taken that step of faith to become a Christian, to be baptized into Christ. Everything's ready to make that a reality tonight. And you can indeed lie down in peace. If you obey the truth tonight, you'll sleep better than you ever have if you really understand what you did. And we're ready to assist you, and we'd love to, as Terry leads us.